And so today, as previously noted, we are at the last of a four-part teaching series that we call the Simple Series. And we've been in this series describing and explaining in some detail that model of ministry that we're presently pursuing here at Holy Cross, a model of ministry designed to help us be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ and to help us help others to be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. Indeed, being disciples of Jesus Christ and helping others to do the same is the church's primary mission. Indeed, you are familiar with what is sometimes referred to as the Great Commission, where we read Jesus' words in Matthew, telling us the context in which it happened. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, it's after the resurrection, and he's talking to the 12 and other disciples that are gathered there. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go, therefore, because this is true, and make disciples of all nations, not just of the Jews, but all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, even as you are doing this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so since this is what Jesus wants us to be doing, he wants us to be followers of him, and he wants us to be disciples, if you like, and make disciples of others at Holy Cross, we are attempting as best we can to make this simple purpose the primary focus of all that we do. And the process for accomplishing this simple purpose is as simple as the purpose itself. Indeed, in order to be disciples of Jesus Christ ourselves and to help others to be disciples, we want to commit ourselves and invite others to join us in the pursuit of a simple four-step process. Now, to get a handle on the process, we've created a simple Venn diagram, and they tell me it's easier to read on live stream than it is on the screen. We'll have to get that fixed. But anyway, step number one. Where do I begin? We say, well, start with step number one. Step number one, as we covered a few weeks back, worship God regularly with other believers. Secondly, grow together faithfully. Thirdly, as we talked about last week, serve others lovingly. And today we're talking about the fourth, which leads you back to the first so that you could do the second and the third and the fourth and the first. In fact, when you get to the fourth, the fourth is never completed, as we will describe in a few moments. But it's not a process that you get to the end of it. It's a process. You have a place to start, but there is no end. And so today we're talking about that fourth step in the process, and that is mature in Christ continuously. Mature in Christ continuously. Indeed, the ultimate goal of the Christian life is not just getting stuff from God or admiring Jesus from a distance. Rather, the goal of the Christian life is becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Indeed, the goal of the Christian life is growth and spiritual maturity. And this goal of growth and spiritual maturity, this becoming more and more like Jesus, is not so much a destination at which we arrive, at least not in this life, but rather is an ongoing spiritual journey, if you will, from one level of spiritual maturity to the next. Indeed, maturity in Christ is not so much a goal that we finally achieve as it is an exciting, life-changing, transformational process that never ends. Let me say that again. Maturity in Christ is not so much a goal that we finally achieve as it is an exciting, life-changing transformation process that never ends. As I heard Chuck Swindoll put it one time on the radio, he said, the plan of the Christian life is not spiritual perfection. The plan of the Christian life is spiritual progress. Or as someone else famously put it, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much just to leave you there. And so maturing in Christ is a dynamic, ongoing process. And because it's a process, change and growth are essential to it. Indeed, if you aren't changing and growing and maturing spiritually, that's because you aren't engaging the process. Some Christians like to talk about that they're on a journey. But too often that kind of language is used as sort of a left-handed explanation or excuse for why the quality of their Christian life isn't quite what they know it should be. Well, you know, we're all on a journey. But if as Christians we're not growing and maturing in the way that we ought to be growing and maturing as time goes by, if we aren't spiritually adulting, to use a common word now in our culture, that's because we aren't engaged in the process. Indeed, if week after week and month after month and year after year, as sometimes is the case, we aren't growing and maturing in our faith and practice, that's not because we're on a spiritual journey, but in fact, if this is true of us, because we're not on a spiritual journey. Indeed, if we're not growing and changing and maturing spiritually and becoming more and more like Christ, that's because we have gotten off the road that leads to spiritual transformation and change and have instead set up camp on the side of that road. And because of this, the maturing process within us has been short-circuited. And that was, by the way, the problem with the believers in Corinth, you may recall. And that was showing. Their lack of spiritual advancement was showing in the quality or the lack thereof. That was a part of their common life together. Indeed, in that famous passage from the third chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and beginning at verse 1, he said, I, brothers and sisters, could not address you the last time I was with you. I couldn't address you as spiritual people, that is, people who are growing and maturing in the things of the Spirit, but rather I had to address you as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. That is to say, people who were spiritually immature. I had to treat you like a bunch of spiritual babies, he said. Verse 2, he said, I fed you with milk. That's baby food, you know, from a bottle, from a baba, as we used to call it when we were kids. You want your baba? Yeah, I want my baba. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, that is teaching beyond the basics. You know, the meat, for you were not ready for it. And even now, as I'm writing from you to you from a distance, still you're not ready, even though you should be ready for it, given the time that has lapsed. For you are still of the flesh. For while there's jealousy and strife among you, oh, churches don't do that, do they? They do when they're carnal. They do when the Spirit's not in charge. They do when the flesh is active. And the ego is driving everything rather than God. And just imagine that, by the way. If God was as big to you as your ego, how different things would be. Or as I think it was A.W. Tozer who said, put God in his right place and 1,000 problems are solved at once. Can you imagine? Put God in his right place and 1,000 problems are solved at once. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you weren't able, and now you're still not ready for it, for you're still of the flesh. For while there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh as opposed to the Spirit and behaving only in a human way? Or if you like, behaving like people who don't even claim to be Christian? And the same problem apparently existed in that community of believers to whom the writer to the Hebrews was writing. And so we read in the fifth chapter of the letter to the Hebrew believers, in Hebrews 5 and beginning at verse 11. And about this, we have much to say. It was a particular topic that he was trying to develop, but had to stop. But about this, we have much to say and hard to explain. It's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. That is spiritually dull. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, by this time you as disciples ought to be teaching this stuff yourself and making disciples. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the Word of God. Indeed, you need milk, baby food, and not solid meat. Indeed, these believers weren't growing and maturing, but instead were suffering from a sort of spiritual retardation. Adequate time had passed, allowing for growth and change and maturing and transformation, but they hadn't grown. And unfortunately, sometimes that's the case within the church today. I remember someone who came along the belonging course some years ago. This man is no longer a member here. But we used to do a sort of an exit interview, you know, when you did the belonging course. And in the exit, we asked, describe yourself spiritually before the belonging course and describe yourself after the belonging course. And in each case, this man, by the way, who had grown up in the church, who was now retired and had lived and I believe had gone to church faithfully all of his life, and he described himself as a spiritual novice. It made me wonder, so when are you planning to get out of that? I mean, do you have another 75 years? And yet maturity in Christ is the goal of the Christian life. As someone has written, there's no reward for admiring Jesus. And Jesus isn't looking for admirers. Rather, Jesus is looking for followers, for disciples, who are actively learning from him how to live their lives as he lived his. Indeed, the goal of the Christian life isn't just about believing certain things, so that's important. And the goal of the Christian life isn't just about doing certain things, although that's important as well. Rather, the goal of the Christian life is to be constantly becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Indeed, this is, if you like to use a Latin tag, the sine qua non, without which nothing. This is the sine qua non of authentic discipleship. If you don't have this, you don't have it at all. And this is the difference between authentic discipleship and cultural Christianity, which we spent some time in weeks past describing. Indeed, Jesus doesn't just mean to be our Savior, to forgive us of our sins, or to give us peace of mind when things are not going well. In addition to all of this, Jesus means to be our model, our Lord. In fact, in the last verse of that gospel reading that we read from Luke 6, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say?" Stop it! Stop calling me that! Indeed, as we've already said, the goal of the Christian life isn't just about getting stuff from Jesus. The goal of the Christian life is about being like Jesus, more and more, day by day, step by step. Because we're really on a journey, hopefully. Even if those steps are baby steps. And you can't be making baby steps when you're sitting down. Not even baby steps. Indeed, if you're not on a journey, you're sitting down. And if you're not on a journey, you're not going anywhere. I always appreciated what a former professor of mine, professor of philosophy and theology, Dallas Theological Seminary, at the time he's passed, God rest his soul. But he used to say, even God can't direct a parked car. That's brilliant, right? He said lots of things like that. Even God can't direct a parked car. Indeed, in order to be getting somewhere, you have to be moving. You can't get to your intended destination parked motionless along the side of the road that leads to spiritual transformation. And the intended destination of the Christian life is maturity in Christ. As Paul, writing to the believers at Ephesus, wrote, he said, and Christ gave to the church apostles and prophets and evangelists, these are teachers, speakers, and shepherds, that's pastors and teachers, to do what? To equip the people, to the saints, as he calls them, for the work of ministry. I minister, you minister. I mean, can you imagine? All of this just doesn't get done with one person running around. Playing, I play the music, and then I come give the talk, and then I do the thing, and then I go, hey, would you like a cup of coffee? On and on and on, and hey, we're glad to see you this morning. It doesn't work like that. And as Paul said in another place, we are all members of the body of Christ, and individual members of it, and we all have different functions for the building up of the body of Christ. And Christ gave the apostles and prophets, the evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to do the one another's, to encourage one another, to serve one another, to prefer one another. We went through that one of those weeks just in the past. Teach one another. Admonish one another. For the building up of the body of Christ until we all, as members of the body of Christ, attain the unity of faith. Of the knowledge of the Son of God. Notice, to mature adulthood. You thought I made it up, didn't you? It's apostolic. Till we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature adulthood, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. If you like to be maturing in Christ continuously, it has always intrigued me how some Christians seem to shy away from seriously committing themselves to the process that leads to maturity in Christ. Concerned seemingly that if they really, you know, throw themselves into it and commit, they'll somehow, that will somehow lead to something that they won't like. But truth be told, being spiritually mature is a whole lot more satisfying than being spiritually immature. As much as being a grown-up is a great deal more fun and satisfying than being a baby. That's why babies are screaming all the time. Indeed, those who are actively maturing in Christ more often than not are those who are faithful and growing in faith. They're courageous and they're growing in courage. They're gracious and they're growing in grace. They're generous and they're growing in generosity. They're free and they're growing in freedom. They're joyful and growing in joy. They're peaceful and growing in peace. They're thankful and growing in gratitude. They are wise and growing in wisdom. And so what's not to like about any of that? And if developing such things as those in your own life sounds good, I want to encourage you to work the process. Step one, worship God regularly. Jesus did. We talked about that. It was His custom. When you went to church, Jesus was there. Step two, grow together faithfully. That is to take every opportunity to learn together with other believers in small settings. Step number three, to serve others lovingly, because serving others is the distinguishing mark of true discipleship. When you love one another in this way, all people will know that you are My disciples. When you serve in the church and in the world. And then step four, mature in Christ continuously. Indeed, committing yourself to becoming more and more like Christ, to be a student of Christ. Indeed, that's what a disciple means. A disciple is one who takes on the disciplines of the master, the teacher. Learn what He did and imitate His ways. And never stop and watch what happens. Amen. Amen. Mature in Christ continuously. Help us to do it, Lord. Not because we have to, it's a free country. We know from experience that we can say no to You. But what if when we say yes, when we say yes, when we turn, we turn from going away and we turn to going towards you, and we say yes. When we look full into the light, when we look and come into your presence where there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore, what would happen if we did that? What would happen if we listened to your voice and stop listening to all the other voices that are saying not? Don't listen to his voice. Indeed, did God say that you cannot eat of every tree in the garden? There's deception everywhere, but you are the truth. Help us to respond to it, Lord, to see it and to find it precious and do all we need to do to get it, and then having gotten it, to do it. Even as Jesus said, and if you keep my commandments, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. For our soul's health, Lord, and for your greater glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.